Hello, everybody. Good afternoon or good morning, depending on where you happen to be sitting right now. Thanks for joining us today. My name is Mike Gibb. I run AccountsRecovery.net, and I'm really excited to be moderating today's webinar on maximizing your business intelligence tools. Today's collection operations are loaded with data points, collection software, dialing software, and every application is loaded with reports and analytical tools to help executives maximize productivity, and efficiency. In this webinar, which is being sponsored by TCN, we have a panel of leading collection executives who are here to walk through the importance of business intelligence tools and how companies can use it to maximize their productivity. I want to take a quick minute and say a few words about AccountsRecovery.net. AccountsRecovery.net is a news and information platform for the RM industry. The site publishes unique and curated content, maintains a number of email newsletters, hosts webinars like this one, and offers a number of exciting podcasts for the RM industry. The site is completely free for anyone in the industry to use, and is a great resource of news and insights to help educate and inform. I hope you'll all spend a few minutes every day checking out what it has to offer. Now, let me tell you a little bit about today's speakers. Mark Boych is the operations manager at JP Recovery Services and has accumulated 18 years of leadership experience in the accounts receivables management industry at national firms such as OSI Collections, Transworld Systems, AMO Recoveries, and Asset Acceptance Capital Corporation. So starting at JP Recovery Services in 2011, Mark has advanced into his current role of operations manager, although I think he did just get promoted. I have to update his bio, where he's responsible for the strategic and day-to-day production of his services. In addition to being a certified Lean Six Sigma Black Belt, Mark is currently pursuing his MBA at Case Western Reserve University's Weatherhead School of Management. Mark is also a 2016 Ontario Systems Hall of Fame Award recipient for innovation. Michael Loggus is the President and Chief Financial Officer of Delta Outsource Group. Michael has spent more than two decades in collections and management roles and is responsible for all billing, collections, and accounting functions for Delta. He has also managed credit collection staffs in multiple locations and has managed portfolios of $500 million. He's also achieved a Lean Six Sigma Green Belt certification. Sheila Monroe joined True Accord in November 2018 with 30 years of experience in the credit collection and banking industry. She spent several years at Alliance Data overseeing fraud, credit, and collection functions. More recently, she held roles at the British-based bank Barclays PLC as the Global Chief Operating Officer for Barclaycard, and before that as the Global Head of Collections and Recoveries. During this time, Sheila has gained deep operational expertise with lending, servicing, collection, and other practices in several countries. The format for today's webinar will be a panel discussion. We encourage everybody to submit questions, and we'll get to them as the discussion is ongoing and once the discussion has concluded. To submit a question, please enter it into the question tab on your Zoom webinar control panel. This event is being recorded, and a recording will be made available in the coming days on AccountsRecovery.net. Finally, I want to ask everyone to reserve a minute and fill out the feedback survey that should pop up on your screen after the webinar is over today. You'll also receive a link via email tomorrow to access the survey. Most importantly, what I'm looking for are ideas for that, you know, things that you'd like to learn more about or people you'd like to hear from that help sort of drive future webinars, future podcast episodes, future articles, et cetera. So please share any ideas or things you'd like to see discussed in that feedback form. With that, let's move on to our discussion today. And first, let's talk a little bit about what business intelligence is. And maybe we'll go around the panel, starting with you, Michael, and just talk about how you sort of view business intelligence and maybe how you define it.
Business intelligence really to me is a kind of a dashboard of your company's key performance indicators that you've identified that help drive your business. So being on in credit collections, it could be things as basically as number of attempts, manual versus dialer, conversion rate for payments. One of the things we look at here is first pass yield, how many accounts can we collect off of one phone call. But it really kind of summarizes it, and then it allows you to not only trend but do some comparisons to see if there's correlations between certain key metrics. So it's really a great analysis tool to try to figure out what metrics are driving your business.
Awesome. Excellent. Mark, Sheila, any changes you would make to that definition, or do you view it any differently?
I think that Michael's hit it really on the hit the nail on the head. It's really, again, he hit the nail on the head, but it's taking this massive amount of raw data that we have at our disposal and turning it into something meaningful, something that we can use to gauge performance and then improve processes.
Yeah, I think the key here is actionable insight. So there's a lot of data that you can get wrapped up in and get lost in. But I think that the key to that dashboard view that Mike talked about is, you know, are these leading indicators that you can take action on if they're outside of your tolerance, if they're not meeting your standards? And I always like to use like a red, yellow, green kind of color coding, because it makes for a quick snapshot. If I can look at a dashboard of a lot of metrics and say, okay, which ones are outside of my tolerance or outside of my target, then those are the things that I'm going to focus on and do a little bit more deep dive on. Why is that? Why is it off track? The thing that the business intelligence dashboard isn't going to give you is diagnostics, but it'll at least tell you where to look. You know, where are you excelling and where do you need to put a little bit more emphasis and figure out root cause of why you're missing that target.
Okay, excellent. So let's take this concept of a dashboard and maybe talk a little bit about that for a minute. What, you know, without giving away too much or without giving away anything you don't want to give away, I guess maybe that's a better way to say it. What's on your dashboard, or do you want to take it from another angle? What should a company have on its dashboard? Mark, maybe you can go first.
Sure. One of the things that we keep a keen eye on is our contact rate of our campaigns. We spend a lot of time focusing on that because we all know that collections is a contact game, a contact sport. So contact rates, very important. After that, we have conversion rates. So what percentage of those contacts agree to pay us? Out of that, kept rates, and then after that, we have average amount promised. Some of them have their factors in the technology that we're utilizing or our strategy. Others have their root causes in collector skill, and they point to that. So we'll have a dashboard that rolls up for the entire department or for a group, work group within the department, but then also at the agent level, we can see how individually they're performing and then focus on those areas to improve agent performance.
Yeah, we are, TrueAccord's a digital first agency, and we kind of, a primary tool as we start to engage with the consumer is email. So similar to the call and collect environment that was just described, we want to know how our interaction is going, how our engagement with consumers. And while that might look like RPC rates and promise rates and stuff in a call and collect environment, in the digital email first environment, our dashboard is going to look like how effective is our email? First of all, is it getting delivered? So what percent of our emails that we sent were actually delivered to inboxes versus, you know, got a hard bounce rate? What percent of consumers opened an email? What percent of those consumers actually clicked through and went to a link and saw a landing page? What percent signed up for a payment plan? You know, what's our plan breakage rate? We have consumers come into our website, they self-serve, and we monitor those plan breakage rates. So we would look at that, consider all that stuff as how is a consumer engaging with us. We have other channels as well, but we focus a lot on that initial email channel as our way to look at how a consumer's engaging with us.
Yeah, for me, the dashboard, I kind of look at business intelligence as it's a book, right? Numbers tell a story. They tell a story about your business. And business intelligence really is that book. And the dashboard is the cover of that book, right? It kind of gives you a basic idea of what that book's about. And then you dig in deeper to use an another analogy is to find those root cause and why, what's driving this number? Why has this number changed? Why has it gone up? Why has it gone down? And so I think that dashboard, really, you need to think of it like the cover of your book.
It's an interesting perspective. I like that analogy. Yeah,
very good. Dude, I wanted to ask you guys, Michael and Sheila, do you guys have just one dashboard that you take a look at, or do you have, let's say, one control in place for maybe multiple different types of processes?
Yeah, we have several different dashboards. I think if I'm running the contact center, I have my set of metrics that I'm going to look at, and that's, you know, our email response rates, our answer rates, average wait times, stuff like that. So I'm going to be optimizing for something different than my product team, who is looking at those email deliverability, email open rates, click rates, et cetera. And of course, those are all leading indicators as well. So, you know, when we sit down and talk to a client, it's the lagging indicators, right? How much money did you collect for me? And, you know, what's my liquidation rate? And managing up at the top of the funnel, though, is how we look at how do you get to that liquidation. If the top of the funnel isn't, you know, getting the results you need, that the kind of key result at the end isn't going to come out.
And so
it's like you don't tend to manage liquidation. You tend to manage the leading indicators.
Yeah. Focus on those key factors that really drive liquidation. How about you, Michael? Do you have one dashboard you take a look at, or you have like multiple dashboards for different processes?
I have multiple dashboards, and from my perspective, to Sheila's point, I have some that, you know, what I call a leading indicator dashboard that really focuses on those leading indicators, number of calls and attempts and all that stuff. And then I have some post reviews, which kind of look at, you know, what we've done previously, and, you know, evaluating previous campaigns for success, and kind of looking, we call them the look back and the look forward dashboards. And then there are, you know, from a financial CFO perspective, I have financial metric dashboards that I look at as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We have, in our environment, we're about 96-95% medical is what we have. So we have many different types of processes that a standard non-medical agency has, such as like a skip tracing process. And for that, I've got a skip tracing dashboard. I've got, you know, a dialer campaign or manual call launching campaign dashboard. But because we're in medical, we also have some processes that are unique to medical agencies, such as an insurance scrubbing process dashboard. We've got a vendor that will scrub and look for commercial payers, Medicaid, Medicare coverage, and we're getting insight into the hit rates and actual billable rates that we find from those processes. But we also have that we just implemented what we call an agent coaching dashboard, where the supervisors are entering coaching sessions into a central database. And then we're summarizing that information to identify what are the trends in our coaching with our agents. And that's given us some insight onto areas in which we can focus to just improve agent performance. Other than just call quality, we tie those back to our values as a company. So what are the attributes of a good agent? So job, knowledge, teamwork, cooperation, et cetera. But our coaches, our supervisors are giving us insight into that by logging the coaching sessions. And then we use the data in that database to summarize and discern trends from where our opportunities are for our agents and where we don't need to spend much time too. So we have, much like you guys, we have many different dashboards to take a look at.
That's a really good point, because I remember several years ago in another role I had, looking at something like average handle time, which can eat up a lot of payroll in your call center, started listening to calls and saying, well, what I realized in listening to calls is that there was a training deficit, and a lot of the handle time ended up being, I'm putting someone on hold to go ask someone a question or to go to my knowledge base and look for an answer and hunt around on there. So one of the things that was I had implemented because of that is saying, okay, look, there's good AHT, there's good handle time, and there's bad handle time. Bad handle time is all the time I've got a customer on hold. Bad time is all my after call work. Good time is, hey, talk to the customer as long as they want. But what we had identified is that lack of training across an organization can add, you know, significant amounts of time to a phone call, which means significant amounts of time to or significant amounts of dollars across your estate. So it's a good point you bring up about training.
Yeah, training, really important. Teamwork and cooperation, we're measuring that. Account maintenance as well. So anything that you're not seeing in like a dialer pull or manual call launching device type of campaign. So, and then using that data to provide feedback to the agents on their monthly performance and then during annual appraisals so they can see the log entries and they get a copy of it and they know, hey, this is where we want you to focus. This is going to make you a more effective employee and maybe even a happier employee, but maybe that's a bit too pie in the sky.
Something similar here, I think, from our perspective, that we kind of similar to what you guys are doing. We look at average talk time per call versus an RPC rate. And if we see an excessive amount of that, we go in and listen to those calls. And typically what happens is it could be something hold time. It could be the collector's using 15 words where two will do. And then it's really just coaching and bringing them back to, hey, focus on the money. Let's not get involved in lengthy discussions about situations that might reduce your productivity.
Yeah, definitely.
Excellent. Well, at this point, I just want to hit the pause button on the discussion briefly and talk a little bit about the sponsor for today's webinar, TCN. TCN is a leading provider of cloud-based call center technology for enterprises, contact centers, BPOs, and collection agencies worldwide. Founded in 1999, TCN combines a deep understanding of the needs of call center users with a highly affordable delivery model, ensuring immediate access to robust call center technology such as predictive dialer, IVR, call recording, and business analytics required to optimize operations and adhere to TCPA regulations. Its always-on cloud-based delivery model provides customers with immediate access to the latest version of the TCN solution, as well as the ability to quickly and easily scale and adjust to evolving business needs. TCN serves various Fortune 500 companies and enterprises in multiple industries, including newspaper, collection, education, healthcare, automotive, political, customer service, and marketing. TCN is engaged and actively involved in understanding TCPA changes and how it is changing the industry. TCN regularly speaks to local and national leaders to help to educate them on matters of TCPA and compliance for the betterment of the industry as a whole. For more information, please visit www.tcn.com. Thanks again to TCN for sponsoring today's webinar. I'm sure I speak for all of us listening today when I say we appreciate your generous support. Now let's get back to the discussion. We've got a question that's come in, and I'll use this as an opportunity to remind everybody, if you have a question for any of our panelists, send it in and we'll get to it before the end of our discussion today. The question is, do any of you fold in your speech analytics, compliance, and agency skill proficiency dashboard into your daily?
Yes, would be my answer. We use kind of speech analytics not only from a compliance standpoint, but we also use it to help drive productivity. So, you know, certain key phrases that the collectors use are identified when they're discussing payment. Those are rolled into from a call progression standpoint. So definitely we roll in compliance and speech analytics into our daily reviews, especially just from that call progression standpoint.
I suppose we're a little bit different, not completely. We have as a mostly digital business, all of the contact channels that we use roll through what we call a compliance checker to make sure they've got the right state disclosures. It's the right time of day. We can use it for that client, et cetera. But in our contact center, we get, about 0.7% of consumers that we are working with actually call our contact center. Speech analytics is something that we will implement this year. Don't have it. I think it's a fantastic idea. One of the blind spots that we do have in not having speech analytics is being able to pull in that amount of data and, look at what's being said on the phone and if there are trends, if there are certain complaints coming up or themes coming up that we can react to that very quickly. And I think it's a fantastic idea to have that on your tracker.
We do not utilize speech analytics at all. It's something that we've investigated. We haven't implemented yet, but much like Sheila's mentioned, I can see the value in adding that tool to your tool, chest. The data that you can get from a discussion between a consumer and a collector is really getting into the realm of big data, being able to pull in all the words and identify trends from what's said on a call that can help you identify what needs to be said or what can be said that may help identify potential compliance issues or what may drive a consumer to pay are really valuable tools. Just not something that we've implemented at this time.
Hey, Mark, if you're ever deciding you want to do that, give me a call. I've got a reference for you that I think you'd really like.
Awesome. Thank you.
Excellent. So we've talked a lot about the different dashboards that each of you have to varying degrees. And I think that leads me to my next question. If I'm at a collection agency, how do I figure out what to put on my dashboard? How do I figure out what I should be looking at versus what might just be some external noise and shouldn't be paying attention to? Sheila, you want to go first this time?
Yeah, sure. I think, getting started, if you're starting from nothing, right, it's just important to start thinking about cause and effect. So if I'm trying to have outcome of X, what are the things that would influence that outcome, right? Whether that be your number of phone calls, your promise kept rates, your right party contacts, that kind of promise to contact rates and stuff. Start simple, just start something. And the way I would maybe look at this if you're just starting out is you don't maybe know what is good and what's not. And so there's a couple things that you could do is, in your dashboard, I like to have a little, what's the last 3 months average of this metric? So am I kind of in line or better, hopefully improving above and beyond the last few months? And also what was it last year? So I think those are just simple comparisons to say, hey, as I'm looking at my data, is it good? Is it not? And then you might, as you kind of further develop that opinion of is it good, is it not, if there's industry data out there to suggest what a best practice looks like or a best result looks like, using that to target as well. But I think that the best way to start simple, you're going to start seeing as you start practicing with your teams, looking at the dashboard, talking about what it means, talking about is it actionable? Again, you want to focus on something that you can take action on. It's meaningful, not just information. And throughout these discussions, you're going to start asking yourselves other questions. What else do I need to know to diagnose that situation then? So it's going to continue to build. But you want something that, if you have some historic trends or a target that you can look at and say, is it good or is it bad?
I think that I think Sheila has the exact right approach for that. There's so much data out there. You have to identify what are really, that's what a KPI is. What are the key performance indicators? The challenge has always been for me is that I'm a very data-driven person. I like being able to take a look at the numbers and discern trends by taking a look at the numbers. So I use tools such as Excel to discern trends in the data that I'm seeing. I have a bit of statistical training with my Lean Six Sigma background. So I'm familiar with statistical tools such as correlation study, regression analysis, so that I can use data to verify what my assumptions are. I understand that a lot of people probably don't have something such as that at their disposal. I would strongly recommend that you look into something like that. Or if it's not something in which you're interested, because there are a lot of people that aren't, I get it. As foreign as it may sound to me, some people don't want to look at data. I would recommend finding someone in your office that does have that kind of bent to them. They like taking a look at the data, and then getting them the training to take a look at that to verify those assumptions with the data at your disposal.
Mark, I think you make a good point. And I think different people learn differently, right? Or take in data. I like to see the numbers, but a lot of people like to put a bunch of graphs and charts together. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of visual connection or visual management on the data. And there's tools like Tableau and Looker. And, you know, if you just Google business intelligence tools, you'll find a plethora of these things. But I also don't want to make it sound like you have to have something fancy either. I mean, I've been in this business a long, long time, as Mike said at the beginning of the call. And, you know, a lot of the business intelligence that we use kind of fancier tools on now used to just be done in an Access database. And that's fine. That's a fine place to start if that's where your skill set is and you don't have a lot of money to invest in this kind of stuff.
Yeah, you can do some pretty nifty things with Excel. That application has grown quite a bit to the point where you can create dashboards out of Excel. You know, if you don't have an application at your disposal, I create dashboards such as our agent coaching dashboard. I don't have anything going fancy on the display side. It's just an Excel spreadsheet with pivot tables, pivot charts in it. Yeah. And we're able to discern trends graphically from that data. Yeah. But definitely even with the first thing that I learned as part of data analysis is that what's called that first pass analysis. And that's where those tools such as just basic graphing, time series charts are really helpful in discerning trends.
Well, and from my perspective, if you're just starting out, I mean, we have access to so much information, it can almost be overwhelming. So again, I agree with Sheila, start simple. And then the other part that I really liked that Sheila said was have conversations, because when you and the management team are having conversations, it tends to lead you down different paths to explore different data points that might lead you to some other metrics that you want to start looking at. I know from when I came on board at Delta, that's kind of how our process started. We issued the first dashboards, and then through conversations, it led us to other metrics that we wanted to look at and analyze. And some of them were dead ends, and some of them really produced some really great data that we use to help improve our business.
I think that's really important that you one person sitting in an office by themselves isn't going to identify all the relevant factors in what drives performance. I think it's important that, yes, you get those subject matter experts in on the creation of your dashboards or whatever you're using to analyze your data, because I found that by working with other people, they're generating more ideas than I could possibly do by sitting in my office by myself and trying to figure out what do I need to take a look at.
Michael, you mentioned, you know, being able to get some really great data from the tools you're using. Is there anything that you can share and sort of some what that data is or you know, sort of how you were able to sort of act on it or make it actionable and what changes you made?
Well, I think, you know, wow, that's a little bit of a boil the ocean conversation. I think from my perspective, right, when we started, it was just, you know, there was really the first conversation we had to have was, is the data we're pulling accurate? There was a lot of data validation that had not been going on that we had to go out and look at. And it was as simple as what is a contact, right? What constitutes a contact? What constitutes a payment? Is it, you know, a post-date payment? And we really started with the basics and from scratch. And once we defined what the data points were going to be and what they meant, then we started collecting information on them, realizing that some of the older data prior to my arriving was probably not valid because we changed the definition. And then as we went through that, I mean, we really started with the basics: attempts, contacts, number of payments put on, post-dated arrangements put on. And we just started really with those four. And then it's grown to, you know, a PIF-SIF discussions. And I think actually I'm going to pull up the report because there's so much data on here, I can't keep track of it all. Things like average payment size, average RPCs per day. I'm trying to think of what else we have in here. Average RPCs per day per collector. So it's kind of evolved as we've tried to have more and more discussions. One of the ones that we added recently was the total number of available hours to work, and then the percentage of those hours that were worked based on people calling in or being late or whatever that stuff. And we found a correlation between our hitting our goals and the number of hours worked. And really what we figured out is if we're less than 95% of the available hours worked, it's going to be a struggle to hit our goal. So we added a attendance requirement to our bonus plan, and that impacted our business right away. We had a lot less attendance issues. Although I'll be honest with you, the floor generally screamed about it, but it's funny how it stopped being a problem when it impacted their bonus.
Imagine that. They're not happy that there's an attendance policy in place. Huh?
Well, there's always been an attendance policy, but now it hurts them from a bonus perspective.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah, we have I thought you brought up a very good point, and that was one of the things that we had to focus on was data validation. So when we were taking a look at improving our right party contact rate, one of the key metrics we take a look at, we found before we could do any kind of analysis is, you know, do we know that everyone's reporting a right party contact accurately? And we had to do some evaluation, use some tools at our disposal to evaluate, all right, what does this person consider as a right party contact versus this person versus this person? Person versus our expert, you know, the person that says this is what a right party contact is. We found there was an opportunity there. So we actually had to create an SOP around what is a right party contact. And after that, we found that it made a measurable difference in the accuracy of the data that was being reported to us. So, but yeah, very important data validation. Make sure you're pulling in the right data, because you can't make a good decision without good data.
Yeah, I think being crisp on that definition is really important. You call a metric something. Does everyone across the organization have the same understanding of that? Does every agent understand how to influence? Does your strategy team understand how to influence that metric? Becomes very important. I remember walking into a contact center environment one time, and I picked up their reporting, and they were saying, like, yeah, we have a less than 5% abandon rate. And I'm looking at the reporting day after day, and it says there's abandoned calls and missed calls and answered calls. And I said, you know, what does this missed calls mean? I said, I think that's like when we get phone calls when we're closed.
And I'm
you think? Yeah. And so I was like, all right, let's do a data dump and look at when these calls came in. Nope. Ask yourself again. And so, you know, understanding the definitions is really point number one, key.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think it's a very good example. You're taking a look at what you want to take a look at there. Mm-hmm. You know, our abandon rate is fantastic, but then you take a look at it and say, well, we're leaving out this and that. It's like, well, no, you know, you don't ignore what the data is saying. You know, if it looks ugly, just take a look at it at face value and say, all right, we're not happy with this. What do we need to do to improve it? You know, but just trying to hide behind numbers, or what's that saying go? Even the devil can quote scripture for his own purpose. You
know, right.
You take that data and use it for your own purpose, which could be just to look good, or you could take the data and really discern what is it telling me, and, you know, am I happy with those results? Yeah, very good point.
Yeah, I would say statistics can be used to back any opinion. 78% of people know that.
Yeah.
I always remember a professor I had in university who told me about Cook's Law, which is where you come up with the answer and then figure out how you got it.
right. Yeah.
That reminds me of that.
It Mark, is, though. I mean, on yeah, that, before we move on, I mean, I think thinking about consciously, are you using data to tell a story to your senior executives that make you look good? Or are you using data to really diagnose your business? And again, a perfect example is in a contact center environment where you might say, hey, my abandon rate is this, but actually I strip off short abandon. So if you abandon in less than 20 seconds, we ignore you. Well, why are you doing that? Because is it to go to a client and say you had a great rate, or is it, you know, internally, look at that data. It's going to tell you something. Understand why people are calling you and abandoning in 10 seconds. And that's going to drive your business forward. So that's just one example. But, you know, use the data for yourself, the right data.
Yep. And you'll drive results as a result of it. Yep.
That was actually going to be my question to you, Mark, is something you mentioned was the right data. I wanted to maybe get you to expand on that a little bit and sort of your approach to make sure that the data your company's pulling in is the right data. What steps you take?
Oh gosh. So we work out of the fax application, and what I found, one of the challenges that I ran into is that there are many different fields of information in the application that have similar names. So what I found with us in utilizing fax is that you have to truly understand what is the data in that field. I think there may be two or three different fields for balance. Principal balance, or that could be interpreted as a balance. So when you're running a report where you're pulling data, make sure that what you're pulling is really what you're looking for. Going back to the subject matter experts, we're fortunate that we have a support plan through Ontario Systems where we can go back to them and say, hey, can you help me verify that this is the right field? Or doing some validation of your own. One of the things that we wanted to verify, so we take a look at right party contacts per operator hour. We wanted to verify that the operator hours were tallying appropriately. So we were doing our own experiments, logging into the contact platform, ensuring that the time in each state was accurate, that things were aggregating properly. But then also taking a look at, like I mentioned, right party contact rate. Is there potentially, if the data is reported by a person instead of a machine, do we know that those people all have the same standards in place for that? I think kind of the default assumption may be if you don't have the tools at your disposal to analyze it, might be to assume that they don't, and to publish a clear SOP. On what is this, let's say I go back to the right party contact rate option, but what is a right party contact rate? Here's what it is. Here's the different scenarios, and one of the things that helped us in that particular regard was getting feedback from the people that are every day in and day out, our agents. They're the ones that are reporting right party contact rates. What are the scenarios that you run into that may seem kind of borderline? And then providing a clear guidance for our associates on those borderline situations. It's time consuming to make sure you have the right data, but again, you can't make good decisions unless you have good data. You know you're pulling in the right data. The people that are submitting that data, if it's people driven, all have the same definition for whatever it is that they're reporting. Really important.
Do you weigh different data points differently, or does everything kind of get treated the same? How should, if I'm looking at this, sort of from someone who's just getting started in this and I see all these different data points, are there some that I should, I guess, consider to be more important, less important, okay. or yeah. If it's on the dashboard, is everything, equally important?
Yeah. All right. That's a fair question. So one of the things that I quote unquote grew up learning about was the priority of, let's say with our agent performance dashboard. So we focus on right party contact rate, which is driven by, from the agent's perspective, their post-call wrap time, also their handle, their talk time as well. But we kind of have a ladder, so to speak, and where we start. So if the agent's contact rate is too low, that's where we start. That's where we focus on with the agent. What do we need to do? What are our observations of that agent that are driving the right party contact rate? We noticed from the metrics that their post-call documentation time is extraordinary. They're spending 45% of their day documenting accounts. Okay, we know that that's a factor. Their conversion rate may be kind of questionable. Their kept rate, their average amount promised rate may be a little bit low, but we do have an order in which we focus on things. And it's starting at the right party contact rate. All right, great. Now that's looking good. When you get someone on the phone, how effective are you? When you get someone to agree to pay you, are you effective there in getting them to actually keep it? And then from there, when they actually keep their promise, how much are you negotiating? So that's kind of just how we prioritize agent performance, focusing in that order.
Yeah, I would echo that. I think that, there are definitely metrics that are worth more than others. And I think of those as more ratio based than total numbers based. So for example, your total number of attempts, whether that be attempts by SMS, email, ringless voicemail drop, outbound call or whatever, the number of attempts isn't necessarily the most important thing. It's the, how effective was that in getting to a commitment from a customer, whether that's your telephony promise to contact ratio, or that's your, when you're sending emails, did it get in an inbox? Did it get opened? Did it get clicked? When you send an SMS, if you have a ability to, click onto a website from them, what's the experience on my ringless voicemail drops? Did I get into someone's voicemail? Did someone act on that then as a result of it and either go to the website and sign up for a payment or call us back? So it's the outcome of that. If you know that those things are effective, then you can, then you can work on the absolute number of those things you do until you reach a point of diminishing returns. So I think that you could look at this almost, another way to look at it might be on a balanced scorecard kind of way. Typically look at a balanced scorecard more at a company level or department level, but you can certainly use the same sort of thing where, hey, our effectiveness on this metric weighs a little bit higher on a scorecard than the number of things that I do, perhaps, to drive effectiveness.
I think those are all, I like that point with the normalization of your data by taking a look at ratios instead of raw numbers. Well, one of the processes we have in place, our insurance scrubbing process, we know that we're expending a lot on that process. Just to scrub costs us money. It's not the hit rate or the actual found rate, but just scrubbing. So with that in mind, we keep an eye on the ratios by clients. Some clients are much better at identifying billable insurance before they send it to bad debt. And we're able to identify those clients and say, all right, this client has overall a 10% billable rate, but this client has an overall 2% billable rate or 0.9% billable rate. So based on these ratios, it just doesn't make sense with the amount of money that we're spending scrubbing for this 0.9% client to continue scrubbing for them. They're not realizing returns. We're expending a lot of money in terms of the scrubbing and then the labor costs of reviewing those hits. Those normalizing ratios are really telling when, particularly if you have clients that are of different sizes or different volume placements or pool campaigns that are of different sizes as well. It's great to see you got 500 contacts in this pool, 200 contacts in another pool, but how does that compare to the total amount of inventory in that pool or the total amount of time you spent in it?
Yeah, I'd also think, back to a question that one of the participants asked earlier about, hey, are you looking at compliance and call data, call quality and stuff on a daily basis, I think it's really relevant when you start to think about what weighs heavier than another is, yeah, there are all these like metrics of efficiency and effectiveness, but without weighing those also against your compliance rates, your quality checking, and whether you had a failure to deliver mini Miranda or other disclosures or something, that stuff can quickly start to outweigh on a scorecard. If you're failing on quality metrics, that's going to affect your client relationships. It's going to affect more than, you know, just your immediate liquidation. So when I tend to look at overall performance, you want to look at all that kind of stuff as well. And I did see a question in the chat that might have been geared toward, I think it was you, Mark, that was talking about incentives in attendance. There's a question about...
Go ahead.
So it was a question about, did you experience any turnover when adding attendance to the KPIs and bonus structure?
I think that may be one for Michael, yeah.
Is that Michael? Okay.
Yeah.
Michael?
Sorry about that. I had you on mute.
That's okay.
Initially, we had some pushback, and I only had one person leave over it. The reason they left was because they were close to getting terminated anyway due to their poor attendance. So they were very upset that their bonus got affected and ended up leaving. But my guess is, based on their attendance, that would have happened anyway. So initially, yes, but kind of just to dovetail that whole conversation, we during the holidays, we removed it temporarily because the floor had asked for it. And the response that the director of operations said, fine, as long as it doesn't go back. The month we removed it, attendance dropped and our hours worked dropped below. So it was reinstituted the next month. And I haven't heard a thing about it since.
Can't argue with the numbers, huh?
Nope. That's why we're having this webinar.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Yep, absolutely.
Maybe one that's the wrong title for the next one, Mike. Business intelligence, right? The reason to the numbers tell you everything.
Yep.
That's it.
One of the things.
Go ahead, Mark.
One of the things I like to, whenever I'm considering a vendor or some type of implementation, some type of new process, one of the factors, and it's not by far the biggest factor, but what kind of data can I get from you? How data rich is the environment? And that is a factor in our decision. If I've got a contact platform and they can provide me with just their metrics, you know, I'm going to take a look at this dashboard. This is what we say are your relevant metrics. I'm a little leery of that because I like to have my own metrics. I have a pretty good sense of, you know, what I need to put together that's relevant. So I would encourage anybody that's considering any type of vendor, whether it's a contact platform vendor or maybe some kind of data scrub process, you know, what kind of data can you provide to me? And the more data rich, it can be a drawback because, you know, what this webinar is about is, you know, is too much data bad? And it can be because it could be confusing, but I'm more inclined to go with a vendor, or I view it favorably if that vendor can provide me with more data than another data that can, or another vendor that can provide me with kind of just a static statistics, and they tell me what's important.
So let me ask you a question, Mark. When do you determine to add a new metric, right? One of the challenges that we've experienced here at Delta is people, you know, when you start adding, and the example I'll use is the average RPC per collector per day. We added that recently, and there was a lot of consternation about that. Like, I don't understand how to drive that, or what are you trying to drive here? So yeah. When do you decide, and what determination makes you add an additional metric or review?
All right. So if we, I like doing a lot of modeling. using regression analysis.
Okay.
And
okay.
If that metric will describe or tell me or help me more accurately predict what my outcome will be, then I can see value in adding that metric to the dashboard. Like before, we didn't have a kept rate, you know. If it's something that's just kind of common sense, I think you should go with it. Like a kept rate, for example, we didn't have a kept rate. We had a promise rate and an average promise amount, but a kept rate is pretty important. Just kind of makes sense. It's great that you're getting promises, but you need them to keep, right? But in other cases where it's not abundantly clear, I'll use like regression analysis and, you know, did the predictability of my model improve by adding this metric to the model? And if it did, then I've got the software and the training to tell me that, but that's how I go about it.
I'm curious. Go ahead, Sheila.
No, good. I was just going to say that's a good point. I think when you think about metrics is there attribution? Can you look at cause and effect? And if you're playing with metrics that you don't think move the needle on your ultimate outcome, probably not that worth looking at. But if you can, as Mark said, really look at attribution of a metric and figure out that it is predictive, that's the gold mine right there.
Sometimes you can pass them just through the plain old sniff test, as I call it. Mm-hmm. It's like this, it doesn't smell right. So we're not going to throw it in, but yeah.
Yep.
I'm curious and would like to maybe get feedback or perspectives from each of you. Are you tracking, is everything you're tracking in real time? Is it done on some kind of delay? Is it a batch upload? Like every call, you know, do you see the RPC rate change or every, you know, how does it sort of, you know, because Mark, I know you mentioned pivot tables and we talked about Excel. How does that data actually sort of make it to the dashboard and how often are you, and then how quickly are you making changes based on what you're seeing in the dashboard?
So how you get the data is really important. Stale data, it depends on what you're trying to do, but we have real-time data that we're getting, and that can come through, add-on products to our existing contact platform, for example. But then there's also, I'm able to run an SQL query on our database, and retrieve within a couple of seconds, you know, as of 2 seconds ago, what was our right party contact rate for the day, or by agent, or, you know, of this 15 minute increment of time, how much time did they spend in a wrap state? So we have both real time, but then we also have that what I'll call stale data. So you're taking a look at the prior day's results. So we have reporting automations that provide us with reports that will give us the prior day's data, but also dashboards that we can run on just the prior day data. So I think it's important that you get real time data, but there's also value in having that, you know, taking a look at the prior day or even 6 months ago to discern trends.
Yeah, we have a little bit different environment. Again, being a sort of multi-channel, digitally driven company, we have we're in a fortunate position where I don't have to look at everything every minute of the time. But our machine learning algorithm is looking at data throughout the day and making decisions at an individual consumer level. So, you know, looking at this consumer went out onto the website, looked at payment plan options, didn't actually sign up within 15 minutes. Our machine learning algorithm sends an email that is specifically geared to that customer in that situation saying, hey, you know, I know it can be difficult to pay $1,000 all at once. Here's some payment plan options. Click here if you want to look. So it's quite interactive. So you kind of constantly throttling against different contact channels and the next best contact and how consumers are interacting on the web, how long they're staying on payment plan or on any kind of landing page, et cetera. We also kind of look at just fun ways to look at data. Every payment that's processed through TrueAccord, we have a Slack channel running and, you know, you can sit and see, it's just up on a you can log into it or you can see it on a monitor. I see every payment that comes in for every client and whether, you know, if we have any problems with declines, I'm going to see that. And if I see too many of those, it can react to it, find out what's going on. And then of course at the agent level, the supervisors are looking at intraday, you know, how many promises and payments have my agents taken throughout the day. But I will also say, you know, some of that's really actionable. And some of it, it's okay to look at the next day as well.
Yeah, and from my perspective, it really is relevant to the level of the individual looking at the data within the organization. So at the, you know, managing the collector levels, they're looking at real-time attempts and RPCs and conversion rates and can focus on specific agents that seem to be struggling. Or focus on the successful agents and help get their techniques throughout their team. And for me, it's really at a higher level, less real time, more kind of summary where we're at. So typically a midday review and then an end of day review for me just to see where we're at. And then I can ask questions based on the data that's provided.
Excellent. Well, we've reached just about the end of the hour, but before I wrap up and let everybody head back to their offices for the rest of the day, I'd like to go around the panel and maybe get some concluding remarks, a summary of maybe what you talked about today, the most important things to kind of remember, or if there's something you wanted to mention but didn't get a chance to, because the discussion never headed that way, but you can do that. But just to give each panelist a chance to wrap things up today. Sheila, would you mind going first?
Yeah, sure. I would just say data without insights is just information, right? So I think that the more you can look at your data and turn it into what does it mean and how can I act on it, that's really the whole point of being able to create business intelligence and use business intelligence.
Excellent. Well said. Michael?
Start simple, start small. Don't try to boil the ocean, and then make sure you're having meaningful discussions with your management team as you go through your business intelligence dashboard and build on that base.
Thank you. And Mark?
Data is good. No, the right data is good. Accurate data is good. It can be overwhelming. When you're presented with a lot of it, reach out to your peers. If you want, you can reach out to me as well, but bounce ideas off of people. The data is good, but you still need people to make decisions about what data to use and then how to take action on it.
Excellent. Well, Mark, Michael, Sheila, thank you so much for sharing your insights and taking the time to speak with us today. I really appreciated this webinar. Definitely would not have been possible without your participation. So thank you. I also wanted to thank TCN one last time for sponsoring today's webinar. Please go to www.tcn.com to learn more about the company. Thanks to everybody who participated. A final reminder, a final request to please take a minute and fill out the feedback survey and make some suggestions if you have any ideas you'd like to see addressed in an upcoming webinar. Also, I hope everyone stays tuned to accountsrecovery.net for news and more webinars in the very near future. Please be sure to enjoy the rest of the day. Panel, awesome job. Thank you. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Thank
Mike.
You. Thanks for including us.
Thank you.
Bye. Mm-hmm. Bye.